In verse 30, he says, many believed on him. Now, that's the same construction as we talked about last week, that many believed on him. That's the same as John 3:16. Whoever believes on him, same words. Whoever believes on him has eternal life and shall not come into condemnation. That's verse 18. But it's passed from death to life. So a person who believes on Jesus has eternal life. So that's important for us to see here. Many people don't distinguish between salvation and discipleship. Oh, if you're saved, you're a disciple. Not so fast. He says if they are believing, then they need to receive the word and become disciples. Now, the difference between the two, between salvation and discipleship, is salvation is free. Salvation is free. You can't say it any clearer than that. And yet some people don't see it. Salvation is free. So that means then, if he says to me, get into the word, become my disciples, that's not a part of salvation. That's something to do. If it's free, you don't do anything for it. So salvation is free. So discipleship is a step on. And it says, if you believe, you have eternal life. But then when you go on, he says, goes on with them and says, now, if you stay in my word, then you will be my disciples. Now, I make that distinction here because when we get to the first word of verse 33, there will be it'll be important. So, for them to stay in the word then, at that time, how do you stay in Jesus' word? How do you keep hearing Jesus' word? Well, we'll go get the Bible and, no, there's no Bible. Not with Jesus' words in it. So, they had to follow him around. Remember, the disciples came to Jesus. Lord, teacher, where do you dwell? He said, come and see. Lord, I believe. Okay, follow me. What's he saying? Follow me around. Hear what I have to say. Listen to it. Understand it. Believe it. And do it. We have it written on the back wall over there. Take up your cross. Follow me. That's what people need to do. So, what I'm saying then is, staying in the word is discipleship. These people were believers. And we need to see that. Now, Ray found how many pages? A lot of pages. I think it's 40-some pages on this particular area. Then it was on a disc, so I listened to it. Very helpful. Here's one thing that man said. He said in chapter 8, where we are, that there are three kinds of people. Remember, this is started off with the adultery. It goes on from there. But in the adultery time, he said there were people there, and you remember, that when they heard the word from him about casting the first stone, what'd they do? They left. There were some people who went to flight. They went away. So they were in flight. Others stayed to fight. But there were some who saw the light. I like that little arrangement, so I'll share it with you. But he's talking about the people here who are fighting. They fight him. So then, when we come to this first section, and by the way, I have the Jews claim as Roman numeral 1. There's no Roman numeral 2. That's the part I left out for next time. But he comes in verse 33. They're bragging. They answer him, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Well, they answer him, who is they? I'm suggesting to you, this they is the fighters, the people in the fight, not people in the light. Okay, so they answered him, they is the people who were fighting him. So they were, they're Jews who have been referred to in verses 13, 19, 22, 25, 27, all along. They're the people who have been countering with him all the time. So these believers wouldn't be doing that. Believers wouldn't be speaking against him, which is what the word is. So the believers in verses 30 and 31 do not speak. That even in 30 and 31, John tells about them. They believed. Jesus told them, stay in the word. They don't say a word. So when he says they, he's not talking about those people. They haven't said anything yet. It's the other people who have been fighting Jesus, and those fighters are still there. So the Jewish unbelievers are saying, we are Abraham's seed. Now, is that true? Yes, it is. Jesus is going to say later on, yeah, you are Abraham's seed. They were physically Abraham's seed. We have a little chart. There are different kinds of Abraham's seed, and you need to see this. Abraham's seed, there were some who are physical, not spiritual seed. Abraham's seed. If you're a Jew, you're Abraham's seed, physically. But you're not Abraham's seed spiritually unless you believe on Jesus. And then there are those who are physical and spiritual. That's the believing Jews. If you're a Jew and you believe, you are both physical and spiritual seed. And third, there are some spiritual who are not physical seed. Most of us here, believers, we are spiritual seed of Abraham, but we're not physical seed of Abraham. So we are spiritual seed of Abraham only. And then there are some who are neither physical nor spiritual. They're Gentiles who don't believe. So it's important for us to see what the word seed, Abraham's seed, means. So he's saying, right, you are right. You're physically Abraham's seed. Then they say in verse 2, or in the second thing, we have never been in bondage. Wrong. They were right on one point, wrong on that point. And it seems strange to me that they could even say that. Remember 450 years in Egypt? They were in bondage. Anyway, they're now in bondage. Roman soldiers are all over the place. Rome collects taxes from them. They're in bondage. Well, Jesus is not talking about that kind of bondage anyway. What he's talking about is, after they're bragging, he tells them their burden, 34 to 36. Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. Oh, that's the kind of bondage you're talking about. They don't believe they're in that either. But that's what he's talking about, the sin. And then he says, a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. Free from sin and self and Satan. Free. Only Jesus can do that for you. So they were slaves to sin, as all mankind is. People are born in sin. They're born with their back toward God, and they won't turn it around until Jesus reaches them, Holy Spirit reaches them with the word, and they turn to Jesus and believe. That's when they receive their salvation, and they get out of that slavery to sin. They don't have to sin any longer. Now, so the difference between a slave and a son. He said, the son abides forever. If the son makes you free, you are a son or a child of God. And he says, the son, Jesus, will make you slaves free forever. But you have to admit, first of all, that you are a slave. You can't be freed from slavery until you recognize that you are a slave. That's their burden. Their burden is the sin that they carry around. And then their blight. Something's wrong with them. They're blind. They are blind. 37 to 41. He says to them, they're partly correct. I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. So you're Abraham's seed, physically. That makes it even more horrendous, it seems to me. yes, you're Abraham's seed, and you're killing the very seed that God promised to Abraham. Now, Galatians 3:16. It's not on the screen because I didn't think of it until just 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago. Very important. Galatians 3:16. He's speaking about the seed that God sent. He says, he said to Abraham, I will give you a seed. And he points out, it doesn't say seeds, as many, but seed, Jesus Christ. The one seed of Abraham. Paul got it in 3:16. But it seems to me that these people, they know the Old Testament. They know, that's their living. That's what they do. But they come to the Old Testament and they don't see that. They don't read carefully. It's important that we read carefully when we read the Word. What does he say? Even to a singular or plural makes a big difference. He's not talking about seeds. He's talking about one seed, and that seed is Christ. So they were partly correct, but they're also partly corrected in verses 38 to 41. I speak what I have seen with my Father, Jesus speaking, and you do what you have seen with your father. He's really after him now. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Wrong. You don't do the works of Abraham, so Abraham is not your father. And Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. I thought about that. What did Abraham do when God came to visit him in his place? He was out on the plain of Mamre, under a tree, in the shade, one middle of the day. And three men came to see him. Remember that? Chapter 18 of Genesis. And he said, oh, stop here. Stop with me. Well, let me give you some water, refresh you. We'll even make food. Now, when I think of food, I think of grabbing something and whatever we have on hand for somebody just dropped in, and we'll get that out there. And in about a half hour, we got it all done. We're finished. We're ready to go home, do the dishes, and go. You know what happened here? He took some meal into Sarah, into the tent, and said, make some cakes out of this. That was her job. He went and got a servant and said to him, pick out a good calf and take it out and kill it and cook it and bring it up here. How long does that take? If these people are hungry, they're in trouble. No, but it's just a much slower culture than we have today. But that's what he did. He brought him up there and they had to make the cake, cook the calf. And then he didn't sit down and eat with them. He stood aside. Have you seen, I think the best picture I see of it is in tennis. I love tennis. When the tennis players sit down every odd set, they'll sit down and there's somebody standing right there. One of those ball girls or boys standing there. What do you need? I'll get you a towel, do this. And that's what Abraham was standing there to do. Abraham was like, waiter, I'll stand here. Tell me what you want. I'm waiting. He didn't get to eat one. But what I'm saying to you is, when God came to see him, he did everything for God. Oh, yes. You people who see me as Christ, you don't believe me. You're not doing anything for me. So, you know who that was that visited him, right? There were two angels. They went on to Sodom and Gomorrah and so forth. That woman was God. And I think to myself, now God, three persons, who was this? Well, I read in John chapter 1, verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. No, any time. That includes the Old Testament. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, this one has led him forth. Whenever anybody saw God in the Old Testament, they saw Jesus pre-incarnate, before the incarnation. So, I take it then that these people, in the Old Testament, they can see that was him. Here I am. I'm that incarnate Christ now. And these people are trying to kill him. Not give him food, kill him. And Abraham did not do that. You're son of Abraham. You're not living like Abraham did. Now you seek to kill me. A man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. Who's that? He's going to identify him later on. The devil. Your father is the devil. And then they come up with a blasphemy here. Their accusation. They said to him, "We are not born of fornication. We have one Father, God." Did you ever notice when people begin to lose an argument? I'm thinking of politicians mainly. They begin to castigate the person. Get his person. The governor's race in Florida comes to mind. But that's what they do. They don't. It's not so much what the person can do. It's what he is. He's a bad person. Don't want him. So that's what they're doing here. They can't beat him doctrinally. They're going to try to beat him about himself. Fornication. I think that they're probably talking about the fornication. Jesus' birth. They said to him, "We're not born of fornication. We have one Father, and that is God." Not born of fornication. Well, probably a slur, and if it was a slur about his birth, then it would not be hard to find somebody that knows Mary's situation. In Nazareth, there are a lot of people who knew, and they could go there and talk to anybody who'd been there 30 years ago. Or it was probably circulating all around. And there, so we can see it, of course, in Matthew and Luke, chapter 1 and 1. So all they needed to do then was go and ask. So they probably knew the story. They've been looking to him for quite a while now, 2.5 years. So they had looked at everything they could. But they seem to be trying to evade Jesus' point that they were of their father, not of their father Abraham, but of their father the devil. So they played what they saw as their final trump. We said we're Abraham's seed, and you say we're not. Well, we're not Abraham's seed. We are of God. I can hear him say it now. I can hear one of my friends who taught with me, Avis Carbiosa. He always said, "God." And I think they said it just that way. We are of God. Now, you can't get any higher than that. If we're of God, we're right up there. Well, that was their way of doing it. See, they tried Abraham. Didn't work. We're of God. And they're wrong again. Their accountability is seen in verses 42 and 43. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, then you would love me, for I proceed forth and came from God, and I have come, didn't come of myself, but he sent me. Why then are you do not understand my speech? Because you're not able to listen to my word." And I think to myself, wait a minute. They weren't able to listen to him. They weren't able to hear him. They didn't understand him, apparently. But then, "You are not able even to listen to my speech." Well, why were they not able to listen? John 7:17 tells us, if anyone wills to do the will, his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine whether it is from God or whether I speak of my own authority. Why can't you learn? Why can't you understand? Why won't you listen? Because I don't want to. I don't want to know the will of God. I don't will to know the will. And there's too many people around like that. You talk to somebody who's out there somewhere, you know, and you say to them, here's what the Bible says. I don't want to hear that. Okay. If you don't want to hear that, then you won't ever hear God's voice, because that's where God's voice is given. So they didn't get that way, though, by themselves. Remember, they're of their father, the devil. He was deceiving them. See, the devil wanted to keep Christ from the cross. Do you ever think of it that way? That was his whole point. He knew what was going to happen at the cross. He knows a lot of things. And he didn't want Jesus to get to the cross. He wanted to kill him. Oh, he tried that. Remember way back in when Jesus was born. He got into Herod's head, and Herod tried to kill all the babies. He killed all the babies under 2 years of age just to make sure he got one. And he missed him. He was gone. Well, that's the way God is doing, protecting him. Well, everything they could do, they wanted to get rid of him. They wanted, don't let him get to the cross. So we come to their boss. Their boss is Satan. The truth is expressed by Jesus. You are of your father, the devil. Oh. Do you know what? Everyone is of father, the devil, until they meet Jesus. There's no such thing as the universal fatherhood of God and brotherhood of men. No, everyone is a child of the devil or a child of God. How do I know that? Well, John 1:12, you know that one. As many as received him, to them he gave the right, the authority, to become children of God, even to those that believe on his name. I was dealing with a neighbor of mine who was in the hospital, and I went to see him. His wife and my wife were friends, and she had said, he's there. I said, well, I'll go see him. So I took my Bible, and there's a Bible there in the stand. And I read the Bible with him. Started with John, of course. And I was reading the book of John. And I said, "That's Jack, wouldn't you like to be a child of God?" And he was shocked. What? Am I not a child of God? I think they went to church. But he didn't hear that. No, you're not a child of God. And we read this together. And I came back the next time. He said, "I'm not a child of God." It says that. It was a chance to show him, led him to the Lord. But that's it. He didn't know that he wasn't a child of God. But it's true. We are a child of creation of God, but not a recreation of God, a child of God. So, the truth was expressed by Jesus. You're the child of the father of the devil. Now, the truth is explained. Expanded. He says, the desires of your father you will do, because he's a murderer. Satan is a murderer. Now, I didn't think about this really deeply until I got here, but he's a murderer. He's been a murderer from the beginning. In fact, all the deaths ever can be laid to the doorstep of Satan. He's the one who started it all. The first murder, Cain and Abel. Remember, Cain killed Abel. Satan, the fact that murder, that death even came in, is laid at Satan's doorstep. And he would like to add Jesus to the list. And guess what? Jesus did die. But it was his defeat Satan's defeat when Christ died on the cross. Not his victory. So he's a murderer. But he's also a liar. Satan is a liar. He does not stand in the truth. This is verse 44, see. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Man. The devil's first lie on the earth was what? You will not surely die. It's his lie. Wrong. It's a lie. And that's all he knows. Lie, lie, lie. And he follows from lies keep coming from the mouth of his people. People, if you're a servant of the devil, the devil uses you for lie, lie, lie. Do you know what? He also uses some of God's people. Some of God's people tell horrendous lies. Sometimes lies for just personal use. And I think of Ananias and Sapphira. Barnabas had a piece of land up in Cyprus, and he sold it, and he brought it to Peter, the disciples, apparently with everybody there. He gave it to Peter and said, "Now use this, because I want all these people to be able to eat." So then Ananias and Sapphira saw that and said, "Well, he got a lot of attention on that one." So they had a piece of land. They sold it. But then they got together and said, "Now, we don't have to give it all. Well, let's give some of it. After all, who knows?" So they brought it up and said, "This is all we got for the land." And they're believers. And then they dropped dead. She dropped dead. Boom. Why? Told a lie. Who told her to tell the lie? And Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" Acts 5. That's the truth expressed. The truth expanded, now the truth explained. Verse 45. Because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. They can't. They're into lies, not into truth. He gives them a lie, or gives them truth, and they think it's a lie. So it didn't fit their belief system. What he said, the Pharisees had twisted things, added things, and so forth, to the truth of the word. They couldn't even, you couldn't find the truth in their system. And so this, what Jesus said, didn't fit their system, so they can't listen to him, and they won't listen to him. Now, what do we have? Well, Jesus faced these three kinds of people, remember? The ones who took flight, the ones who wanted to fight, and the others who saw the light. Now, question. Where are you in those three? Do you take flight? You want to fight? Or do you see the light? Those who saw the light is where we need to be. Seeing the light. Listening. Believing the light. And then making that light real in our lives and in the lives of many others.